When the sound of his footsteps had died away, George turned on Lenny. "So, you wasn't going to say a word? You was going to leave your big flapper shut and leave me do the talking? Damn near lost us the job!" Lenny stared hopelessly at his hands.
"I forgot, George."
"Yeah, you forgot. You always forget, and I got to talk you out of it." He sat down heavily on the bunk. "Now he's got his eye on us. Now we got to be careful and not make no slips. You keep your big flapper shut after this." He fell morosely silent.
"George?"
"What you want now?"
"I wasn't kicked in the head with no horse, was I, George?"
"Be a damn good thing if you was," said George viciously. "Save everybody a hell of a lot of trouble."
"You said I was your cousin, George."
"Well, that was a lie, and I'm damn glad it was. If I was a relative of yours, I'd shoot myself." He stopped suddenly, stepped to the open front door, and peered out. "Say, what the hell you doing listening?" The old man came slowly into the room. He had his broom in his hand, and at his heels there walked a drag-footed sheepdog, gray of muzzle and with pale, blind old eyes. The dog struggled lamely to the side of the room and lay down, grunting softly to himself and licking his grizzled, moth-eaten coat. The swamper watched him until he was settled.
"I wasn't listening. I was just standing in the shade a minute scratching my dog. I just now finished swamping out the washhouse."
"You was poking your big ears into our business," George said. "I don't like nobody getting nosy." The old man looked uneasily from George to Lenny and then back.
"I just come there," he said. "I didn't hear nothing you guys was saying. I ain't interested in nothing you was saying. A guy on a ranch don't never listen, nor he don't ask no questions."
"Damn right he don't," said George, slightly mollified. "Not if he wants to stay working long." But he was reassured by the swamper's defense. "Come on in, sit down a minute," he said. "That's a hell of an old dog."
"Yeah, I had him ever since he was a pup. God, he was a good sheepdog when he was younger."
He stood his broom against the wall, and he rubbed his white, bristled cheek with his knuckles.
"How'd you like the boss?"
he asked. "Pretty good. Seemed all right."
"He's a nice fella,"
Swamper agreed.
"You got to take him right."
And at that moment, a young man came into the bunkhouse, a thin young man with a brown face, with brown eyes and a head of tightly curled hair. He wore a work glove on his left hand, and like the boss, he wore high-heeled boots.
"See my old man?"
he asked. The swamper said,
"He's here just a minute ago, Curly. Went over to the cookhouse, I think."
"I'll try and catch him,"
said Curly. His eyes passed over the new men and he stopped. He glanced coldly at George and then at Lenny. His arms gradually bent at the elbows and his hands closed into fists. He stiffened and went into a slight crouch. His glance was at once calculating and pugnacious. Lenny squirmed under the look and shifted his feet nervously. Curly stepped gingerly close to him.
"You the new guys the old man was waiting for?"
"We just come in," said George.
"Let the big guy talk."
Lenny twisted with embarrassment. George said, "Suppose he don't want to talk." Curly lashed his body around.
"By Christ, he's got to talk when he spoke to. What the hell you getting into it for?"
"We travel together," said George coldly.
"Oh, so it's that way."
George was tense and motionless.
"Yeah, it's that way."
Lenny was looking helplessly to George for instruction.
"And you won't let the big guy talk, is that it?"
"He can talk if he wants to tell you anything." He nodded slightly to Lenny.
"We just come in,"
said Lenny softly. Curly stared levelly at him.
"Well, next time you answer when you spoke to."
He turned toward the door and walked out, and his elbows were still bent out a little. George watched him go and then turned back to the swamper.
"Say, what the hell's he got on his shoulder? Lenny didn't do nothing to him."
The old man looked cautiously at the door to make sure no one was listening.
"That's the boss's son,"
he said quietly.
"Curly's pretty handy. Done quite a bit in the ring. He's a lightweight and he's handy."
"Well, let him be handy," said George. He don't have to take after Lenny. Lenny didn't do nothing to him. What's he got against Lenny?
The swamper considered.
Well, tell you what. Curly's like a lot of little guys. He hates big guys. He's all the time picking scraps with big guys. Kind of like he's mad at him because he ain't a big guy. You seen little guys like that, ain't you? Always scrappy?
Sure, said George. I seen plenty of tough little guys. This Curly better not make no mistakes about Lenny. Lenny ain't handy, but this Curly punk is going to get hurt if he messes around with Lenny.
Well, Curly's pretty handy,
the swamper said skeptically.
Never did seem right to me. Suppose Curly jumps a big guy and licks him. Everybody says what a game guy Curly is. And suppose he does the same thing and gets licked. Then everybody says a big guy ought to pick somebody his own size, and maybe they gang up on the big guy. Never did seem right to me. Seems like Curly ain't giving nobody a chance.
George was watching the door. He said ominously, Well, he better watch out for Lenny. Lenny ain't no fighter, but Lenny's strong and quick, and Lenny don't know no rules.
He walked to the square table and sat down on one of the boxes. He gathered some of the cards together and shuffled them. The old man sat down on another box.
Don't tell Curly I said none of this. He'd slough me. He just don't give a damn. Won't ever get canned, 'cause his old man's the boss.
George cut the cards and began turning them over, looking at each one and throwing it down in a pile. He said, This guy Curly sounds like a son of a bitch to me. I don't like mean little guys.
Seems to me like he's worse lately, said the swamper.
He got married a couple of weeks ago. Wife lives over the boss's house. Seems like Curly's cockier than ever since he got married.
George grunted. Maybe he's showing off for his wife. The swamper warmed to his gossip.
You seen that glove on his left hand?
Yeah, I seen it.
Well, that glove's full of Vaseline.
Vaseline? What the hell for?
Well, I tell you what. Curly says he's keeping that hand soft for his wife.
George studied the cards absorbedly. That's a dirty thing to tell around, he said. The old man was reassured. He had drawn a derogatory statement from George. He felt safe now, and he spoke more confidently.
Wait till you see Curly's wife.
George cut the cards again and put out a solitaire lay, slowly and deliberately. Purdy? He asked casually.
Yeah, Purdy, but...
George studied his cards. But what?
Well, she got the eye.
Yeah? Married 2 weeks and got the eye? Maybe that's why Curly's pants is full of ants.
I seen her give Slim the eye. Slim's a jerkline skinner. Hell of a nice fella. Slim don't need to wear no high-heeled boots on a grain team. I seen her give Slim the eye. Curly never seen it. And I seen her give Carlson the eye.
George pretended a lack of interest. Looks like we was going to have fun. The swamper stood up from his box.
Know what I think?
George did not answer.
Well, I think Curly's married a tart.
He ain't the first, said George. There's plenty done that. The old man moved toward the door, and his ancient dog lifted his head and peered about, and then got painfully to his feet to follow.
I gotta be setting out the wash basins for the guys. Teams will be in before long. You guys gonna buck barley?
Yep.
You won't tell Curly nothing I said.
Hell no.
Well, you look her over, mister. You see if she ain't a tart.
He stepped out of the door into the brilliant sunshine.